be on my lips and in all of our meditations, that the word spoken and the word heard may be in truth your word. Amen. The church I came from before here, St. Luke's in Connecticut, was a rather button-down, image-conscious place where they prided themselves on doing things right and in a rather conservative manner in our old New England stone church building. It was a proper place where you generally got exactly what you would expect. I say that to highlight just how unusual the vestments I'm about to describe to you really were in their context. Our green set of vestments, which is the most used color in the church calendar, was reversible. During Epiphany season, they had what looked like a glittery, exploding star on the front that symbolized the Star of Bethlehem. And during ordinary time, they flipped around to reveal a complex scene of lily pads and dragonflies and flowers and birds in flight overhead to symbolize creation, maybe. I'm really not quite sure. And on top of that, they weren't really green at all. They were this teal color, which the Flower Guild hated, because how do you match anything with teal? It's not a color that naturally occurs in nature. So I asked early on, how did we end up with these? And an Altar Guild member, who I knew didn't care for them because I had heard her say it, told me, with actually a high degree of reverence, that they were commissioned and donated by a woman named Judy in our congregation. Judy sang in the choir and served on the Altar Guild. But the important part of the story is that while she was serving as senior warden, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And everyone knew she was going to die because the prognosis was really bad. Everyone except Judy, that is. And she didn't die. As a matter of fact, not only did she live, she went back to Yale Divinity School to get her Master's of Divinity, and became a hospital chaplain. And everyone, including me, revered her and her faith. She's one of the holy women I've known in my life. And when people were diagnosed with cancer, or even some other illness with a bad prognosis, they'd want to sit down with Judy to talk, and often to have her hold their hand. Because somehow, being in her presence and touching her made them believe that healing just might be possible for them. And she once told me that the vestments with the non-traditional scene was meant to symbolize signs of life breaking through in the springtime after the threat of winter had passed. Today's gospel made me think about that. The story of Thomas touching Jesus to believe. It reminded me of the way that people come to belief, not in the abstract, but through experience, through being in the presence of one who can testify that it's true. Too often we read this story as a bit of an indictment against Thomas because he wouldn't believe in the resurrection until he had touched Jesus' wounds himself. Think for a moment, though, about where he had been the last couple of days. He, like the others, had been hiding out, afraid of persecution or even their own death. They had been huddled in the dark, filled with fear. Even though they had walked with Jesus and seen the miracles, in the darkness of his death, they had a hard time holding their grasp on faith. It was like they had been hid away in their own tomb for 3 days, suffering themselves And they weren't sure if it was safe to roll away the stone yet. Thomas didn't want to just see Jesus, look at his face, and know that it was really him. He wanted to touch the wounds. He needed to know that this man really understood the pain and suffering and was well acquainted with the darkness. Only that type of person could be his Savior. And only that type of Savior could faithfully proclaim a resurrection worth trusting in. That's what Thomas needed. And I think that's what we all need in our moment of doubt, when we sit in a place of darkness. We need someone who has been that way before, who can make us believe that dawn comes and there's reason to hope. That's why people would want to hold my friend Judy's hand after their own diagnosis, because it was a tangible sign that it was worth hoping for healing. It had worked, at least this once, so it might work for me too. That's what we all look for in the resurrection story. Do you know that this is the reading that the lectionary assigns to the week after Easter every single year? It's kind of unusual, since the story only appears in John's Gospel. So every year we rotate most of the readings on Sundays, besides the really big days, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, when we get the same stories, obviously. But every year, this is the reading that follows Easter. Now, I used to think it was because this is what's known in the church as Low Sunday. So many people show up for Easter that this is historically the lowest attendance day. So I thought maybe they left the reading the same every year, assuming the average person would only catch it about once every 3 years anyway. But now I think that maybe they assigned this every year because it's essential to how we read the Easter story. This is who we are. We need to experience the reality of the resurrection firsthand in order to really believe it in our lives. We need to be able to believe that someone suffered and died and still rose in glory, so that we can believe that in our own lives, suffering and loss might give way to redemption and life. In the first letter of John that we also read today, the writer says this very thing as he explains why his testimony is trustworthy. He tells them that he proclaims what he has heard and seen with his own eyes, what he has looked at and touched with his own hands concerning the word of life. I think people need us to tell them those stories so that they can believe. Ones where we have touched resurrection life with our own hands and seen it with our own eyes. How you struggled with mental illness for years, but it finally got your depression managed and a support system built in and your life pieced back together again. There might still be emotional scars from that, but someone could see them and know that they're healed. How you lost your job and it took new training, but you have a career now that you enjoy and you feel fulfilled. And it was years of loss, but the light at the end of the tunnel turned out, in fact, to be daylight. How your family almost split up, but you went to counseling and over time worked through things. Hurts were healed and you made some compromises, but at the end of it all, you emerged whole and happy again. The Easter story is not the sort of thing we can just hold in the abstract. I'm just not sure we're capable of that. We need to believe in the power of the resurrection to heal our wounds now, to bring new life here to the places that are dying. We need to hope in it, and we need to experience it ourselves. But the stepping stone to get there is often to connect with someone else who has experienced it as true. For someone you trust to say, I've been there before, and this is how I found it, my way to the other side. This is how God pulled me up out of my darkness and showed me life. We want to believe in this story, just like Thomas did. And there's nothing wrong with needing to have some tangible reality we can lay our hands on in order to believe. It's the most natural thing in the world to be Thomas. But here's the key. As Christians, as followers in the footsteps of Jesus, sometimes we are asked not to be Thomas in the story, but to embody Jesus for someone else. He says to his disciples, just as the Father has sent me, now I send you. Sometimes we need to be the one who can help others to have faith because they've seen our scars and known our healed selves. They can believe because we have shown them an example of resurrection that they can relate to, like my friend Judy. But to do that, we have to be willing to share our stories and our scars. It's a vulnerable thing, but there's no resurrection without vulnerability, without at least the potential of suffering. Can we proclaim to people what we know about the word of life that we have seen with our own eyes and felt with our own hands? That we have experienced in our own bodies and known was true in our very lives? Can we be an Easter people for our world, for our community, for our friends and neighbors? That's what God is calling us to. We are here because we know that the story is true, because we've experienced it sometime. Will we have the courage to share our stories of resurrection so that others might come to believe it as well? Amen.